Hi, I'm Serena.
And I'm Rachel.
We're the hosts of Book Tales.
If you like reading books,
drinking cocktails,
and Scottish accents,
then meet your new favourite podcast.
Come with us as we explore different themes from romanticy to horror and everything in between.
We pair each book with a bespoke cocktail and tell you everything you'll need to make one.
And each week, play our fun game tailored to each book.
Find Book Tales wherever you get your podcasts. So grab your book.
Grab your booze.
For Book Tales.
Hi guys, I'm Bree.
And I'm Allie. This is Off Script.
If you think about it, books are potential scripts for movies.
When this adaptation happens, typically it's disappointing because they went off script.
In this series, we will be talking about how off script they went.
Hello.
And welcome
to Off Script
Podcast,
where we compare books to their movies.
Heck yeah, we do.
And today, we are doing Cyrano de Bergerac. Get some French in there.
Yeah, that was some great French you did there, Allie.
Thanks.
Yeah, always.
All right, we're on season 8, episode 6. You say you have a picture for us today?
Yes, it's hilarious.
Okay.
It's quite funny. Okay, so I've been doing really good with my working out up until I got deathly sick for the whole entire of 2026 so far. But I've avoided weighing myself because I haven't been able to work out. But now that I'm starting to feel better, I'm like, okay, let's see where I'm starting at because I know my goal. I know where I want to get to. Let's see how bad it was. Actually, I didn't gain that much weight while sick, which is surprising because literally I just ate cereal for every fucking meal and laid in bed and did jack shit and like ate bread, ate candy when I wanted. It was horrible.
You had to treat yourself. You were sick.
Exactly. I was like, this is what sounds good. I'm doing it. So I weighed myself today just right before we hopped on. And this is the first time I've ever really seen Loki do this. Apart from like when I'm sitting at my laptop, he'll jump up on it. And, you know, they say that's your cat mirroring because they're interested in what you're doing. So they want to do what you're doing. So they're like, oh, let me do this. Let me see what you're doing. That's cool. Well, this time I got on my scale, got off it, pushed it back where I keep it. I went into my bathroom to take care of my hair and I turn and see Loki, who is climbing onto the scale.
I was like, gosh.
What the fuck? Yeah. And so I love when he does that because I like to try and gauge where he's at weight wise. Do you want to guess how big my cat is?
What's a normal cat?
Slash and Morris are 15 pounds.
Oh, okay. Then I'm going to go 10.
He's 13.
Wow.
Yes.
Getting to be a big boy.
Yeah. I was like, this little dude's a fat ass. And there have been times where I look at him and I'm worried I'm making him too fat. I'm like, uh-oh, maybe he's way too fucking fat. But also, like, he doesn't overeat. When we had to take him to the vet, they told us, because John explained how, like, I feed him the amount of food he's supposed to have every day. And then in his hunting mice and egg that's around the apartment, I also put a, like, third cup into each of those. So, like, to preface it, it's an eighth cup that I have. I give him 3/8 cup in the morning and at night. And, like, at lunchtime, he's supposed to also have 3/8 cup, right? Mm-hmm. So I give him the 3 in the morning. He eats that. All of his hunting toys are filled with 1/8 cup each, right?
Okay.
And then at night he gets the 3. So the vet hears this and automatically assumes that he is eating every single thing of this. They're like, you're on a fast track to get your cat obese. And I was like, okay, the problem is they're not realizing that it takes Loki like a month to finish the hunting toys. And More often than not, that's all he has for the majority of the day. And more often than not, I'm not even filling his food up in the morning because sometimes he doesn't eat his nighttime food. So then I just leave it. So I have to like remind myself, I'm like, okay, he's obviously not obese because he's not just eating a shit ton. Of course, when we go to my parents, he eats those cats' food all the time because it's always doing its automatic feeder thing. But when we're here, he's barely, not barely eating. That sounds like I'm starving him, but you know, yeah, he's eating the right amount.
Right.
Yeah. But
that's cool that you got to see how much he weighs.
I know. Yeah. I was like, oh, you're a big, you're getting to be a big boy. He's also, his baby face is getting ready to leave me. And I'm really like, I'm so torn up at how much of an adult cat he's starting to look like.
I know. I was, I had to like organize pictures because I made a like slideshow thing for church. And so I finally went through and organized all my pictures. And I found when the kids met him for the first time, he was so tiny.
He was just a little guy. I know. Believe, as I'm laying in bed sick this whole time, like, especially since we pulled out my bed and left it like this for me while I was sick, which was nice because then I was able to lay like straight onto my TV and not sideways. And like, all I can think is the first night that we had him, we pulled out the bed like this, and it's adorable because the spot that he loves is the spot that he first like came to me and John and like cuddled with us. And like, that was the first moment I felt like, oh, he's going to be fine here. But now seeing him in that spot, I'm like, oh my God, you were just a little puffball when you laid there. And now you take up the whole damn corner.
Oh,
yeah, you're just a little guy. Yeah.
I know. Riley's like, when we get another dog, can we get a puppy? I was like, we got Luna as a puppy. And she's like, no, she's like a puppy because we got her 4 months old and not, yeah, you know, 2 months old. I'm like, oh my gosh, girl, get out of here.
Well, what's funny,
they grow up so fast.
Oh, they grow up too fast. And then like, I today saw a video of a kitten that like was a kitten, like basically just came out of its mother. And I realized, I was like, well, Loki's a male, so I'm never gonna have, like, he's not gonna go get pregnant for me and have kittens. So I don't know when or if I'll ever have kittens again. Cause like typically growing up when we got Tabby, I don't know if my parents were just irresponsible and didn't get her spayed and so she got pregnant or what. But then after that, because we loved Tabby so much and so we wanted to keep one of her kittens. So then it became this thing where we were like, okay, like whenever we have a cat that we really like, we're going to let you get pregnant and you're going to procreate and then we'll get to keep the next one, you know?
Okay. Yeah.
So then I was thinking about it and I was like, God damn it. I didn't do that with Loki because he's a male.
You did not.
I wouldn't have been able to keep the kittens anyway because I have the male part of that party.
I'm sure you could have talked to the female part if you had
that's true.
Done a visit. Let them have a conjugal visit. But it's a little too late, right?
Yeah, quite a bit too late.
Okay. Are we ready?
We're back to our pet pictures. Let's do this.
I mean, for trigger warnings, people die. But I wasn't super, I don't think it's a trigger warning. So, yeah. Okay. Our synopsis is: too self-conscious to woo Roxanne himself, wordsmith Cyrano de Bergerac helps young Christian nab her heart through love letters.
No.
So sweet. All right. Our author is Edmund Rostand. Director Joe Wright. Screenplay Erica Schmidt. And the book was December 28th, 1897. The movie February 25th, 2022. And that's 125-year difference. And what'd you do first?
I saw it first.
I read it first.
How shocked were you that it was a musical?
Dude, I was that's one of my videos. I'm like, I did not realize this was a musical. I was like, oh, and normally I don't care, but I was like, what is happening right now?
Well, what's funny is because I had seen it first, I went into this play expecting it to be a musical. And then there was literally just one part with one song that was like a goofy song, not even a serious yep. song. I was like, huh, okay.
Yes.
Just kidding.
It was not a musical in the book. I was utterly shocked, but.
Yep. Yeah.
You know what you should not do? Hmm. Watch Little Women in one night and then watch Cyrano, because they're both time period pieces. And I was just so over it.
Oh, I bet. I bet.
Well, because my kids have started this thing where they think it's so much fun to sleep with mom on the weekends, which now that I have a king size bed, that doesn't bug me, except for the fact that it's like, that's the night I get to stay up late and do whatever I want.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, fine. If you guys are in here, you're watching the movies that I have to watch. And I looked them up and I was like, okay, Little Women is PG. We'll start with that one. They were freaking watching it. I was like trying to get them to go to sleep. And they were like, not super into it, but they were watching it. I was like, what are you doing? Well, Riley is over here refusing to watch Princess Diaries with me because she's like, it's boring. I'm like, but you're sitting here watching Little Women? What?
Yeah, what?
And then
that's hilarious.
Yeah, so then I watched like half of it. I was falling asleep. And then last night I started Cyrano because I had finished Little Women. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my gosh, I could only make it through half because I had just finished the other half of Little Women. I was like, oh. So then today while I was in my house, I finished the rest.
Finished the rest. That's funny. So here's my initial thoughts, because this was one of the first movies that I saw with my AMC. What is it called? The A-list
movie
thing?
Club thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Where I get 4 free movies a week.
Yeah.
So it got to the point, this was the first movie that I saw where, because I had already seen every movie that I had wanted to see in the theater. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, I get a free movie a week, or like the, what I get the 3 at that point, free movies a week. I might as well go see whatever. The one that was playing at the right time was Cyrano. And I was like, well, it's got Peter Dinklage in it, so I guess it should be fine. I left the theater floored at how much I enjoyed it. Because I went into it knowing nothing.
That's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you still have that thing? The club?
Oh, yes, I do.
Do I use it? No. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Because I will use it.
You can save.
Yeah. I know. Honestly, it would be smart to not. Especially since I don't go anymore. But when I stop going, that's when I'm going to start wanting to go. You know?
I know. Exactly.
So. It's too good not to, especially since like when we go, I get my ticket for free and then I can buy your guys's ticket. And like it doesn't come with the taxes and the fees. It's just straight $15.
Yeah.
That's so. Nice. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Why do we pick it?
I picked it because I love this movie and I feel like it's a good Valentine's movie that gets us as far away from Nicholas Sparks as we can. It's the complete opposite of Nicholas.
Oh, speaking of Chris Pratt, we watched Infinity Wars.
We're nice.
Infinity Wars, yes. And Riley cried 3 times, and she's like, "I'm never watching that movie again." And I'm like, "Oh no!" But she didn't cry because
the next one.
I know, but she didn't cry because people died. There were legit. Not jump scare scenes because it's not scary, but
Vision
gets stabbed through and stuff like that where you weren't really expecting it. So it's those things that scared her. But she's like, I'm never watching it again. So she didn't cry at any of the deaths. It was the
the story.
It scared me. And I'm like, okay. We'll see. Watching Ant-Man and then Endgame. See how it goes. Mm-hmm. But I'm so happy we started this because it'll get us all the way
to Doomsday.
And she can come hang out and watch it.
What makes me upset is how every single person in the movie literally was like, I'm done with Marvel. I'm done with Marvel. I'm never coming back. I'm done with Marvel.
And they all are.
Every fucking person is coming back.
They miss those paychecks.
When Chris Evans said he was coming back, I was okay with it. I was like, yes, fucking yes. Then they just kept coming and I was like, okay, I'm over all of you now. Like, what? Like,
I'm so excited.
I just think it's
going to be chaos.
It's gonna be chaos, but as a filmmaker, it makes me upset because you know they only came back because of the paychecks. They're not coming back because of the story, and that pisses me off.
You don't think Robert Downey Jr. is back because of the story?
No, no, absolutely not. That's why he is all Mr. Macho. Like, look at me, I'm back.
Well, I mean that's his personality. So
yeah, that's true. It's like I'm back. As a whole new character, but also it's not a whole new character.
I don't even care. I'm stoked. They can come John back gets, for the paycheck. I don't care.
John gets mad at me when I get mad because he's like, it's comic book story. They're following the comic book. And I'm like, okay, great. But also, like, I have more respect for filmmakers and actors who do things for the art of it and not for the money of it, because I also think that too many studios are doing things for the money of it and not the art of it. And Marvel is actually not just Marvel. It's Disney. Okay. Yeah. Disney is like the worst at it. You know, Disney does it with fucking Star Wars, but of course I'll go see any Star Wars that gets made. Of course. But it's just, it's frustrating as someone who wants to be in that industry when you hear people talking shit because they're always just pushing out the same shit. Well, if they weren't worried about the money and worried about people going and paying to see all the superheroes and all the Jedis, we would actually probably get good stories. But
I know I actually saw this thing that it was like Disney or stated that it's like, well, people don't go see original things anymore. That's why. And then they posted like Lilo and Stitch income, what is it called, box office profits, and then it was Zootopia box office, and then it posted also like Elio, so it's called, I think, the Pixar movie, something else, and it was like vastly different, and then all the comments are like, yeah, because you guys advertised the crap out of Lilo and Stitch and Zootopia, and you guys did nothing with these other ones. And it's like,
no, I didn't even know when Elio came out.
Right.
Because, I wanted to see it.
Yeah. It was like barely talked about. So it's just.
And then it's like. And then the problem too is when they release those originals, if they don't do good, they pull them from like theaters after 2 weeks. They're like, oh, they're not doing good. I got to push out another thing that I've already pushed out.
Right. Oh, well, there's our little tangent. There's our soapbox for you guys.
It breaks my heart. I could stand on this soapbox all day.
Oh my gosh. Well, with that, I'll give you some fun facts about Cyrano. How about that?
Mm-hmm. That sounds all right. Good.
Oh, I gotta say, we didn't say that the movie is just called Cyrano.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes.
Yes. Because there is a movie called Cyrano de Bergerac, which is what I thought we were doing for a long time. And Bree's like, what are you talking about? It's Cyrano. And I was like, oh, okay. So I had to go back and I had to redo my whole cast at the beginning because I had all the wrong for the other movie. Gosh.
That's hilarious. All right.
Well, the writer of this adaptation, Erica Schmidt, is Peter Dinklage's wife.
That's cute. I didn't know that.
Cute.
Mm-hmm. That's adorable.
Yep. Haley Bennett and director Joe Wright are a couple in real life. And this is their first collaboration.
Who's Haley Bennett?
I think she's Roxanne. Let me see.
Oh, that's cute. Yes. She's married to Joe Wright?
I guess. Well, they're a couple. Damn. I don't know if they're married.
Wow. That's cool. Yeah.
I don't know who Joe Wright is, but.
He's I know he's a famous director.
I know that, but. Okay, this one, fact three, I put in for you because I have no idea what this means. So most of the movie was shot in, what is that?
Sicily?
Sicily, around Noto, Sicily, and Syracuse. Oh, it's Syracuse? Not for you. Never mind.
No.
They're
countries. I was like, what? This is all Italian.
Darn it. I thought it was like, I thought it was
Emily, what's hilarious is this fun fact is more for you since you're Italian.
Yes. I was like, Sicily, that's like when it said shot in and then it
that
had,
makes sense.
Yeah. I was like, oh, yeah. Okay, it's talking about
it's
like,
Dolby. That's what it is.
Well, I know Dolby is one. I thought, yeah. Oh, these are fancy ones. I wonder what that means. Freaking Italian cities. Fudge. No, the more I read it, I was like, wait, those are places. I should read my whole fun fact before just copying and pasting it.
Oh, that was hilarious.
Gosh, all right. Peter Dinklage played the role of Cyrano on stage before appearing in the film adaptation, just as Jose Ferrer did generations earlier with Cyrano de Bergerac. See, the 1950 film. That was the one that tried to get information.
That's actually kind of cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then Bree and I were talking about this. Another loose adaptation is Roxanne with Steve Martin.
Mm-hmm.
Might have to do that one.
I remember
loving that movie as a kid. All right, are we ready?
Yeah, let's go.
So the very beginning of the thing just confused me. Okay, so you read it, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I audio.
Yeah, I hope.
No, I what? Read versus audio.
Oh, yes, I read it.
Okay, so I audio.
Oh.
And you guys, it was just.
Oh, and it didn't change for characters or tell you what character was talking, huh?
It did, but it also had all the stage cues in it. Which is fine, except that it took me a while to get used to that.
Yeah.
So the beginning, my notes are like, I don't know what the heck is happening. So I'm just guessing.
Well,
but after
let's
watching
hope I
it,
can remember.
No, but it's okay. After watching it, I'm like, okay, it matches. So I think I did it all right.
I was gonna say there's really barely any notes that I have. So
okay,
my notes are just the big obvious ones. I have 2 pages of notes, but it's like, oh no, I have a page and 2 notes.
Okay, all right. Well, my first thing, I don't think it's at a market. But my brain was like, they're going to a market. They're not going to a market, right? They're going to a play.
No, they're going to a play. Yeah.
Okay. And so there's people coming and this play happens and Cyrano comes out and makes fun of the guy in the play. This is a change I made. Is that correct? Or am I just doing movie?
No, that's correct.
Okay. So then he battles this actor and did he kill him? I don't remember him killing him in the movie or in the book.
No, he did not kill him in the book.
All right. Yeah.
Mm-mm.
He killed him in the movie.
Yes, and he did.
After so he was getting frustrated with the guy because he was making fun of him because he has a really big nose and he's self-conscious of it and everything like that. So people make fun of him for it, but then after he gets at them, they'll be like, "No, we're just kidding. Your nose is so small." And then he gets after them for lying about it. So there's just don't talk about his nose, basically. And then we find out that there's this woman he loves and he's talking to this gal and he's like, I can't, I'm ugly and I'm poor and all this sort of stuff. And I can't tell her she's my cousin. She finds me, I'm sure she'll find me hideous. And these people come in and they're like, hey, your cousin, Roxanne, she wants a message. She sent a message saying she wants to meet with you. And he's all excited now. And apparently she was really impressed with him in battle and she he went and spoke with her.
First off, this movie is a musical. So there's a bunch of musical numbers, but also I kind of love seeing Peter Dinklage rap while he's fighting. I was like, dude, I would watch Peter Dinklage rap while having a sword battle any day. Are you kidding me?
Oh my gosh.
In the movie, we also get introduced to Christian in a very different way. Christian is coming to become a soldier, and so he's not quite a soldier yet. Whereas in the book, when we meet Christian, we already know that he is a part of Cyrano's regime. We find that out in the movie a little bit later. Christian and Roxanne have this moment at the theater because it's very obvious. There's this whole storyline with the Duke and Roxanne where the Duke is trying to marry Roxanne and Roxanne's keeper is basically like, you have to because he's rich, you need money. So they go on a date to the play and they get front row to see Cyrano fight this dude. And Roxanne has this moment with Christian where their eyes lock, and then Christian's backpack gets stolen. So then he has to run and chase after his backpack. Allie, I haven't said one of the largest differences yet. Do you want to say it?
So I
could say it.
Peter Dinklage's nose is not big.
No, but there is something.
He's just little.
He's just a tiny guy.
Yeah. So that's why.
But don't call him elf. No.
He's an angry elf. But that's why, actually, when I started it, or when I was watching it today, I was like, that's the South Pole elf. And they were like, oh, wow. Oh, no, that we said that because we watched Infinity War. So at the when he was the guy with the star, the giant elf guy, not elf. Dwarf guy with the star. You know what I'm talking about?
No, I forgot he's in that movie.
Yeah, he's a
giant. He's in Infinity War?
Yeah. He's the one who made Thanos' glove. Like,
oh, I do remember this. Yeah. Okay.
So,
yeah, I do remember him in it.
That's when we told the kids. But anyways.
That's funny.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So, we move to another act. And someone is like feeding their kids or something. And Cyrano comes in. He's like, what are you doing here? I'm meeting someone. And the guy's like, I'm here with my wife. And he's like, well, when I give you the cue, it's time to leave. And then Roxanne comes in, gives him the cue, and they leave. Like, I'm like, what is the pointless? Pointless.
No, it's because they have to meet in secret because no one wants. Roxanne can't be seen with Cyrano, even though he's her cousin. Oh, there's a big difference too. He's not her cousin in the movie.
No.
They're just really close friends.
Yes.
Like best friends and that consider each other family. Well, but also, I don't think he does.
No. They can meet in private, but why do I need to see him being like, oh, get out of here? I don't know. I just thought it was weird. Anyways, so Roxanne comes in and he's like, go eat your cream puffs outside. And she's like, okay. And she goes outside to eat her cream puffs. That's how they got to talking quiet.
So before he goes to meet up with Roxanne in the movie, there's this massive fight. And basically, this is just showing that Cyrano is not a liked person in this world. He gets attacked and he gets cut. And then Roxanne has to tend to his wound. Also, in this part, when he is trying to clear the space for him, it's like a kitchen place that he's gonna use the dining room area, or it almost seems like a hotel kind of, because like there's the kitchen, but then there's also like a room where it looks like there's a wash basin and a place for people to sit and like sleep and whatever. And so that's where they're going to meet, and Cyrano is talking to the guy who's in charge of it, and the guy goes to him and is like, can you help me with my letter? Can you help me with my poem? I don't have it right yet. And this is just setting the stage for how Cyrano is one of the better poets out there, that pretty much anyone and everyone goes to him for writing.
Okay. Yes. So he is now talking with Roxanne and she's fixing his arm because of the battle he was just in. And she admits that she loves someone, but after like making it seem like it was him, not on purpose, just because he thought it was him.
Oh, can we also say because of the battle, as in the play battle? Because in the book, he does get injured during his sword fight at the play.
Yes.
But in the movie, he won in the play. He killed the dude, didn't get scratched, but then got attacked by a group of people.
Mm, that's right. Mm-hmm. And so, she let him know that it was someone in his guard, and he's kind of just like flustered and let down. And she's like, I've never spoken to him before, but he's so handsome. His name is Christian. And he's like, all right, cool. And so they say their goodbyes and they do like this song battle with people. And this is when this guy lunges at him and he realizes, oh my gosh, it's Christian who Roxanne loves. And so he tells the other cadets to leave, and then he has a conversation with him. And he realizes he's an idiot. And so he comes up with this plan. Hey, Roxanne loves your looks, but I will help you out by writing to her. And in reality, he's writing because then he can truly tell her how he feels without her knowing that it's him. And his like friends that he sees or that he's friends with see him hugging Christian because Christian had made fun of his nose. And they're like, what is going on? He's hugging someone that made fun of him. And then they go back in and they're like, maybe we can make fun of his nose too. So they make fun of it. And then he like punches them. And he's like, oh yeah, Cyrano's back. He's back to normal.
Everything except for that last bit happens in the movie. They never like.
That would have been funny too.
It would have been funny. But I think it's because they didn't do just the nose.
Right.
Because they made it something that I feel like not a lot of people would find funny, you know?
Right, right.
Like, let me make fun of you because you're a midget. Like, I don't think that would come across as well. And like in the movie, there is only one time when Cyrano talks about being deformed. And then the rest of the time it is not touched. And that's just during the play when he's rapping. He raps about how he was a deformed child.
Yes, exactly. Oh, gosh. Okay, so they go and they start writing letters, right? And eventually, though, he's convinced she loves me for me. And he leaves without Cyrano's help. And he's like, I love you. And she's like, say more. He's like, I love you. I really love you. And she's all like, you don't love me. You're not talking all poetic like. And so then he realized, oh, man, I do need Cyrano's help. And so they do this like Juliet and Romeo type of thing where he's like down below and she's up above. And Christian keeps talking to Cyrano in the bushes and Cyrano's telling him what to say. And Roxanne's confused a bit, but then she falls for it. And then she can't see officially who's down there. So Cyrano just starts talking, but he disguises his voice and she falls for that, too. And eventually Christian steps out and is like, I want to give you a kiss. And Cyrano's pissed off. He's like, this is too forward. But Roxanne loved it and called him up. And that happened. That's how it
went. So at this part, Roxanne asks Cyrano to arrange a meeting with Christian. And so then they meet in secret because basically she's the Duke's. And so she shouldn't be talking to no man. But they get together and meet up. And that's when she realizes that he's not talking how she wants him to. And she's like, what the fuck? But then the rest of that does happen. Also, I can't remember where this happens in the movie, but this is literally my last note for this. Okay. At some point in the movie, the Duke says something about how he'll make Cyrano a rich man and he'll sell the poems for him because the poems are just so good to be sold.
Yes.
Which is not, I'm pretty sure that's when he's trying to convince Roxanne to marry him at some point. And she keeps like, no, don't, or whatever.
Right, right.
I can't, actually, no, I think it is in a conversation with him. Oh, I remember where it's at. It's right before Cyrano and Christian first meet. Mm-hmm. He comes up to him in the barracks, like while everyone's fighting the dummies, and he comes up to Cyrano and is like, you're a better writer than this. Do you, why don't I start selling your stuff? And Cyrano's like, fuck you, I don't like you.
Right. Okay, so eventually this monk came and delivered a letter, and Roxanne read it to herself. And I don't remember what it said. Did it say the same thing it said in the movie?
Yes.
Okay. This guy that she was with at the beginning, like she went to the see Duke. The play with. The Duke?
The Duke. Okay. Yeah, it's the Duke in the play, too.
Okay. Basically, he's like, hey, I sent this priest or this monk there. He's going to marry us otherwise, so that we can consummate and, like, be good. Otherwise, I'm going to take you and basically rape her. And so she faked it and lied and said that she fake read it out loud and said that, oh, it says that we, Christian and I, are to be wed immediately, right now, in secret. Did she give it to Cyrano to read so he knew what was really going on? I don't remember her doing that.
I can't remember, but I do know that Cyrano was privy to it. So I don't know. Obviously, somehow he found out.
Okay.
So it must have been.
Maybe. Okay.
Mm-hmm. That happens.
Okay. So now she's like, you got to stall for time so that he doesn't come and stop the wedding before it happens. And so there's a scene where Cyrano and the Duke are acting, or Cyrano's acting like he's this crazy guy that fell out from the moon. He fell onto the earth and he's like talking all crazy. And this guy's like, what is happening? But he fell for it. I don't know how he didn't know he was Cyrano. I thought Cyrano was quite popular.
He stayed in the shadows.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So eventually somehow he found out that Christian and Roxanne are married. I don't know how. Did he just eventually get away and saw that they were married?
He got to the place kind of exactly like in the movie.
Okay, perfect. So this guy's, you know, upset and he's like, well, this sucks because you are going to war now. And he presents them with war papers. And Christian is on the front lines. And Roxanne and made Cyrano promise that she will write to him.
Well, first it's keep him safe. Make sure he eats and is well taken care of and doesn't freeze. And Cyrano's like, I can watch out for him, but I can't promise you any of the rest of that. She's like, well, make sure he writes to me every day. And he goes, that I can promise.
Well, that's right.
All of this happens except for Cyrano does not go and stall the Duke. He stays at the, he witnesses the wedding.
Yeah.
The Duke just walks in.
And he has this,
and somehow, this
whole musical.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. There is the Duke is singing about how he's coming to take what is his. He is too late.
Okay. So Cyrano kept his promise and he wrote letters every day, which Christian didn't know about. He knew about every once in a while, but not every day. And eventually Roxanne shows up at the battlefield and she's making this huge feast and everything. And Christian,
I thought this happened.
Yes. Okay. Christian's
when
utterly
I watched
shocked.
The movie. Uh-huh. I was so mad. I was like, okay, she's going to come. And I could have sworn I remembered this happening when I read it. I was like, oh yeah, this happened too. And then I was watching and I was like, this didn't happen.
Yes. Christian's utterly shocked. He's like, why are you here? She's like, I can't leave. I love you. And eventually Cyrano was like, so she might be here because I wrote to her every day. And, so she knows you really love her. And, Roxanne and Christian are talking and she says that she will love him even if he's ugly because of the like battle and your soul is just wonderful. And then he talked to Cyrano and he figured it out that Cyrano really loves Roxanne. And she's like, well, you should tell her because she loves my soul and that's not me, that's you. And she said she'd love me even if I was ugly, so she'll love you. Rude. And so
you're ugly as fuck, dude, but she'll love you, don't worry.
And so Christian wanted Cyrano to tell her the truth, but Christian's like, or Cyrano's like, we cannot do that, like she'll hate us. And he also never admitted that he does love her. So then the battle broke out though and he's talking with Roxanne. And he was about to say something, but he noticed that, like, he could see the gate, the tent or whatever, that Christian died. So they ran out. Roxanne threw herself on Christian, and Cyrano lied and whispered into Christian's ear that Roxanne still, like, knows the truth, but she still chose him so that Christian died happy. And Roxanne just wants to be there for a little while, but the battle begins again. So they had to leave and Roxanne fainted.
So in the movie, Roxanne does not show up there. Instead, there's a song about all the men writing to the people who they love and basically are telling them, like, when I die in this battle, don't be sad for me. Just know I loved you. And after this, that's when Cyrano pulls Christian aside and says, hey, when you make it out of here and you go back to Roxanne, don't be shocked if she's like, thank you so much for writing me every day.
Right.
And then Christian's like, what the fuck? And so then the rest of this does happen, except for obviously she's not there. So Cyrano doesn't have a chance to almost tell her. So when Christian dies, he just promises that he'll tell her, but then doesn't tell her.
Yep. So it is now 15 years later and Roxanne lives in like this nun area. And all the nuns talk about how for the last 10 years, Cyrano has come and every Saturday to talk to Roxanne at exactly whatever time he came. And today he's late. So, but then word went around that he's late because he was shot in the head by a battle. But he's alive, but he's not doing well. But then here he comes and Roxanne doesn't really look at him much, but she loves their conversation and his hat is covering his like head wound. And so she kind of teases him about being late. And then she asks for her newspaper, which is him just telling every day that week what happened. And eventually he kind of faints and she's like, what are you doing? Are you okay? And he's like, yeah. Sorry. And then she asks him to read the letter that she keeps on her all the time that Christian gave her, the last letter. And he reads it without really reading it because he wrote it. And this is when it clicks. She's like, you're the one who does it, wrote everything. It's you. And he denies it. But she's like, why do you deny it? I love you too. And then people come running in saying he's killed himself by coming here. He left the hospital. He's going to die. And sure enough, he slowly dies. And Roxanne is just miserable and hates life again.
I'm pretty sure in the movie, it's only like 3 years later. And it's his gunshot wound that is killing him. And he's the one who says, hey, you'd said that I would be able to read Christian's letter. Can I? And she's like, of course. And hands
actually,
it.
Actually, that might be how it was in the book, too.
I think it was, but I wasn't sure.
Okay. I think that is how
I didn't want to be like, you're incorrect, Allie.
Feel free to tell me.
Mm-hmm. And that's it.
He dies.
And then he dies. Actually, we get a whole musical and they do kiss, at least in the movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then he basically dies in the kiss.
Okay. Oh, Lanta. All right. Well, we're done.
Yeah, we are.
Okay. So there are 87 people cast in this movie. For starters, we got Peter Dinklage played Cyrano.
Perfect. Yeah, loved it.
He's fun.
Mm-hmm. I think, to me, the fact that freaking... Oh, that's the other thing. When Christian says she said she would love me even if I were ugly, he said she would love me even if I were deformed. There was that change. Mm-hmm. So they were nice to Peter for that.
I guess because I'm called it deformed.
That's true. Okay. It's even worse as it's his wife who wrote the whole script.
Oh, so. That's right.
But I do think because when I read it and I realized it was just his nose that's what made him ugly, I was like, okay, come on, we are not that shallow. Like what?
Maybe like, people even back then were.
I mean, that's true. Absolutely, we were. But, you know, to me now, I was like, come on. Even a man of Peter Dinklage's stature, I think it's just bullshit that we put such a, like, you have to look a certain way to be beautiful, right?
Yeah.
I think it's dumb.
I agree.
But I do think this way is a bit more, like, it's a bit more understanding why he's worried. Like, I can't tell her I love her.
Right. I can see it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So then we have Haley Bennett played Roxanne.
It's really hard for me to get my mind around her age with Peter Dinklage.
Yeah.
It's like, but other than that, she's different. Fine. Yeah. That's a bit too much for me. But
I think it's story purposes. Too. I was like, he says they were friends when they were younger, but she's like 20 years younger than him.
Like, that was before. Exactly. He like talks about her when like she's 4 and I'm like, yeah, and you were like 20.
Yeah. Cool. Then we have Kelvin Harrison Jr. as Christian.
I loved him.
I thought he was really good.
Yeah, he was really good. He was a good choice for Christian.
Yep. Ben Mendelsohn?
Mm-hmm.
Played the Duke.
De Guiche. Yep, the Duke. I just love it because it's a Game of Thrones reunion.
forgot he was in Game of Thrones. Who was he?
Why do I want to call him Littlefinger?
He was not.
I didn't think so.
I don't think so. I mean, maybe, but I don't think so.
There. Oh, no, he wasn't Littlefinger. He's, oh, I get him confused with the guy who plays Littlefinger. Oh. You know who he was? Huh. Oh, so he was the dude from your show, The Outsider.
Yeah, I recognize him from that.
I always put him as Game of Thrones. Oh, maybe that's why, too.
I also know I love his voice, and I just always recognize it because of Captain Marvel and Spider-Man, that he's Talos. And he just has a...
I didn't even know that.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't like Captain Marvel.
I know, but he has this voice that just, like, even when he's mm-hmm. different, like, has all the, you know, alien makeup on.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Theme of the book and the movie, the same.
100%.
Yep. Do the characters stay true?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Do you prefer?
You know what's funny? Okay, so when I was reading it, I was like, I fucking love this play. I love this play more than I thought I was going to. I went into it knowing full well that I saw the movie first, so I was like, I'm going to love the movie. Then I read it, and I was like, holy fuck, I love this play. Then I watched it, and I was like, holy fuck, I love this movie. So I'm torn.
Wow, okay. I'm torn because I didn't like either of them.
I figured that was the case.
So I'm trying to think about which one I liked more.
I think I have to go movie. I love the songs.
That's what... Why I
made you not like it.
Choosing the movie.
Yep.
I think I would have chose movie if the songs weren't in it. Like, the only song I really liked was the letter one.
The letter one's the best one.
That was a good song. I did like that one. But
the acting in it is so fucking weird, and it makes me feel weird for loving that song, but I love that song.
It was a good one. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm going to go play or book or whatever we call it. So,
yeah.
Just because I don't know. It was the play was interesting to listen to because it was like a little acting thing, but there were no songs. Well,
what's funny is because when I read it, I was like, God, I love how sassy Cyrano is. Cyrano's kind of hilarious. Uh-huh. And I was like, I just remembered him being this forlorn, angry character in the movie. So I was like, oh, this will be easy for me. This is why I like the play better. And then I was watching it and I was like, oh no, Cyrano is still a sassy little cool guy in the movie too. I think Peter Dinklage is why it's movie for me.
I love Peter Dinklage. He's really good.
Mm-hmm. Me too. Okay. Yeah. Well, we know you wouldn't recommend it to a friend, but I would not. I would. I enjoyed it so much.
Yeah. It's just such a bizarre love story to me. Mm-hmm. Like, get over yourself. Either tell her how you feel or don't. You're lying to her and you're like, gotta get over your self-consciousness.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then she's like over here, like this guy tells her he loves her. And she's like, you didn't tell me you love me poetically. I don't. You don't really love me. And I'm like, what is happening right now?
That's hilarious. Oh, well, we're done with it, Allie.
We're done with it. Got a sneak peek for you.
Yes, we do.
A website attached to that. offscript253.wixsite.com/offscript.
While you're there, you can give us a rating, you can subscribe to us, or you can leave us a nice review.
Yep. We greatly appreciate it.
You can also sign up for our monthly newsletter. We only send out one, and sometimes I send out none because I forget or get too busy.
So we will not bog your emails down is what we're saying.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. So on Wednesday, with the rate we're going, we got a minisode for you.
Do we know what it's going to be about? No.
We don't know.
We would love it if you gave us some ideas of what we could do in our minisodes.
We really
we're struggling.
Because.
Mm-hmm. What do you want to hear us chat about? Let us know.
Yeah. You know
what? That's what we'll do.
Okay. No. Okay. Never mind. No.
What?
I was going to put this for our, what's it called? Paint a picture. But you nailed it with yours. I used to listen to a book and then get caught up on our episodes and then listen to the next book. Well, because of me working, I've been trying to just pound them out. Well, I couldn't start Little Women because I hadn't read it yet or watched it yet.
Mm-hmm.
So I listened to a couple of our episodes. And have you heard the girls advertisement that's on ours right now? I don't know how long it's on there.
I should say yes, but I have not.
Okay. I don't know how long do they stay?
Oh, that one is one where I asked if they wanted to do an ad swap and I said that I would play it indefinitely. So we're playing it indefinitely.
Oh, okay. All right. So we're always on theirs and they're always on ours.
Yep.
Oh, cool. Well, their podcast sounds super cool and so fun. And I just wanted to say you guys should go listen. I have not listened yet, but they sound really cool. So it's basically they have everybody's gonna be like, yeah, we heard it already. But they match a I don't even drink, but they match a cocktail and a book.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then they like teach you, like they tell you how to make that cocktail and they talk about the book. I'm like, what a cute little idea. And then they have Scottish accents, so that helps too.
So they're fun.
They're fun.
I love it.
I don't know how I
Yeah, no, that. They're from our book podcast group that we're in on Instagram.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Awesome. Anyways, that was a whole side tangent.
I thought you were going to be like, I have an idea for our minisodes. That's what you came up with.
Well, it was sort of, but I don't want to steal their idea. I was going to be like, we could come up with a snack that would go with this book or something like that.
Or with the movie.
Ooh, okay. Are we going to remember that's what we want to do? Nope. But.
Nope. Maybe someone can remind us.
Oh, gosh. All right, y'all.
On Monday, you'll be listening to us compare P.S. I Love You. I can't wait for Allie's reaction to this.
I plan on watching it tomorrow. I feel bad. Like, I was like, because this is one that I've seen first. So normally I rewatch it first so that I'm in that mindset. Mm-hmm. But I hadn't watched it yet, but I wanted to get reading books. So I was like, well, I've seen it. Like, it's fine. And in my head reading it, I'm like, I remember when that happened and that happened. And now Bree's like, almost nothing has happened. And I was like, oh, no.
Well, what's hilarious is, so if you look on our schedule, I put movie ? For what I did first, because I remember watching it in high school or whenever it came out.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think I ever like sat down and watched it fully. Mm-hmm. And like when I watched it this time, yes, 100%. I remembered it exactly. But reading it. Actually, no, reading it, I was like, I don't remember this happening. And I don't remember this. And I also really felt like his letters were lacking in the book. So, yeah, I feel like I'm good. And I remembered movie majority wise. But yeah, no, it's not.
All right.
Oh, you were saying how much you loved it. And I was like, she gonna be mad. 1, 2, 3. 3.5 pages of notes for that one.
All right. Well.
Yep. Yep.
Maybe I'm not going to
watch. And I probably could have had more.
Tomorrow's my mean night. I don't want to be angry. All right. Well, we'll see.
All right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, you guys, Cyrano de Bergerac. Oh, no, it's just Cyrano, right?
Just yes, Cyrano. Yes, since you do movie. Mm-hmm.
And with that, Cyrano.
Went off script. Bye.
Thanks for sticking with us.
We hope you enjoyed it.
If you did, we would greatly appreciate it if you gave us 5 beautiful stars, reviewed, and subscribed.
You can
also follow us on Facebook at Offscript, on Instagram at OffscriptPodcast21, and on TikTok at Offscript_pod.
Shout out to Madame Ashen Creations for our adorable logo art.
And Adam Daniel for our incredible theme song.
And to Creative Cinephile Productions for producing our podcast.
See you next time.
Hi, I'm Serena.
And I'm Rachel.
We are the hosts of Book Tales.
If you like reading books,
drinking cocktails,
and Scottish accents,
then meet your new favourite podcast.
Come with us as we explore different themes from romanticy to horror and everything in between.
We pair each book with a bespoke cocktail and tell you everything you'll need to make one.
And each week, play our fun game tailored to each book.
Find Book Tales wherever you get your podcasts. So grab your book.
Grab your booze.
For Book Tales.